Third hour, Darren Dunnick and Chase on this gorgeous Wednesday afternoon here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland, Willie Dunnick, Chase McCabe with you. We always enjoy talking to Trey Winko. His podcast is Half Forgotten History, and he now joins us. Trey, how you doing?
Oh, people, I'm doing better, especially after that great commercial I heard before I came on. It was really interesting.
Apparently, apparently I wasn't listening. I was trying to cram some lunch down my throat, but I think I know where you're going with that.
An hour and a half. My God.
I wanted to ask you something else that has made me laugh here. The breaking down of Tua's practices, his minicamp.
Oh, my God. Make it stop.
Oh, my gosh. Look, I laugh because these guys know we did that in this market with Marcus Mariota. Oh, he's completed 15 passes in a row and seven on sevens or whatever. I mean, it was just – he hasn't thrown an interception the entire OTAs or minicamp. And it's just so incredibly ridiculous. But why is this happening down in Miami?
It's because the NFL is brilliant. Like, we all want content. We all want information. We want anything that we can to get our hands on, to get us a little bit of injection of the good stuff, to tide us over until the games begin in September. And the NFL has done a better job of this than any league I can remember. In fact, Ross Tucker is a friend of mine, had someone come on his podcast and said, you know, there's more interest in the offseason now than the season, which is completely wrong, and that's a joke, and it's 100% incorrect. But there is that perception out there, and people crave it. Like, it always drives me crazy when people live tweet OTA's 7-on-7 drill. Now, I will say this, like, I was concerned when I saw Tim Tebow throwing in Denver and couldn't hit a receiver in OTA's. I mean, there are some things to look for and be careful of. But the fact that Tua threw 5 interceptions in the pouring rain, it doesn't matter. What matters is how he's going to look in training camp. What matters is how he's going to look in preseason games and when the season starts. Is it important to get this work in? Absolutely. But if you're going to base something that you believe is going to happen in the regular season on 7-on-7 drills against air, you're not dealing in reality.
How much is there? I mean, it is the big question mark, though, of, right, how he's really – I mean, they're all in on him. I mean, he's the guy that's got to take them that next step. They won 10 games and still were unable to get into the playoffs, and he did not look good, especially in that final game against Buffalo. Ultimately, how do you think it's going to play out with him as their franchise quarterback?
Well, there's a couple of things, and it goes into what we're just talking about here, right? Because there is perception and there's reality. Remember, 2 years ago, they were supposed to tank for Tua. That's how certain everyone was that Tua Tagovailoa was going to be the next big thing. And then Justin Herbert said, hold my beer. So, you know, whenever I hear these things about, you know, this guy's the next thing, I take the Zen philosopher approach from the character that Philip Seymour Hoffman played in Charlie Wilson's War. We'll see. You know, is it possible? Absolutely. We'll see. Here's the other thing. You're right. They're all in, and they must believe that because Ryan Fitzpatrick was the better quarterback last year, and if he hadn't gotten COVID, I believe he would have played those games down the stretch, and they might have made the postseason. But they had the opportunity to do something in the draft this year and maybe move on, and they decided not to, and they're trying to build around him. But he is the key. There's no question about it. But I don't think the key to unlock him is going to be 7-on-7 drills in the rain in June.
I had to chuckle when I saw that. Ultimately, how do you think this is going to play out with Aaron Rodgers? It's been kind of fun to watch his interviews this offseason.
Yeah. Well, listen, Mark Murphy is right, the president of the Packers, when he says he's a complicated fella. Now, I don't think it helps him in any way, shape, or form to say that publicly with ha-ha, laugh, joke. But understand, okay, you know Jordan Palmer went to Vanderbilt, his brother. They don't talk. Like, Aaron Palmer has moved on from his family. So I ask you this. If this is a guy who is willing to move on from his family, I'm not saying he's right or wrong. I'm saying he has. He's moved on from his family over some perceived slight. What makes you think he's going to go back for Packers season ticket holders? Like, why are they any more near and dear to his heart than his DNA? So I don't see it ending anyway with him playing somewhere else.
Mm. Yeah, that one, the other brother lived here as well, and so we used to talk to both Rogers brothers all the time. And yeah, Luke was here, and Jordan used to come on the show all the time. And yeah, they painted the picture that nobody, there is no relationship with Aaron and anybody in the family. So that is interesting. So there's been, obviously, in this market, a huge buzz. It's constant talk, and rightfully so. I was all for the move for Julio Jones. What's your take on what the Titans have done?
It was the right move for the franchise, and it was a risk to take because it's relatively low cost. And when I say risk, well, let's just be clear. When Julio Jones is at the peak of his game, there's no better receiver than football. I believe that. But he's 32 years old. He's coming off a season where he played his second fewest games. He had his fewest receptions in his career, second fewest receiving yards. And so how much do you believe that is a decline that's inevitable? Or how much do you believe, well, we think we can get him healthy and get him right? It was absolutely the right move for Mike Vrabel and Robinson, the GM, to make. But there is some risk involved. I mean, let me put it this way. I don't want to say risk because they didn't give up, in my opinion, a lot to get him if he's right. But there is a chance that, you know, we might be seeing the beginning of the end for Julio Jones. But it's absolutely a chance you take if you're the Titans because the upside could be tremendous. The one thing I'm really curious about, I don't know if you guys even looked at this, do you know how many times in his career Julio Jones has had double-digit touchdowns in his career?
Oh, believe me, Trey. We have read his stats backward and forward. That was something that, unless you had him on your fantasy team for like five straight years, you probably wouldn't be aware of. It's not as many as you'd think.
It's one season he had 10. You know, and he is now. Some of that you can say, well, that's the way the Falcons screwed up using him, which is 100%. A possibility, and you have to factor that in. And the Falcons never had a running game like Derrick Henry and the Titans do. So I think that a lot of those things that might be concerns could be mitigated by the team he's around. But I'm also curious to get your guys' take on it because the other side of it is everyone has a plan about how they think they're going to win football games, right? And a couple of years ago, when the Titans made it to the playoffs and eventually lost to the Chiefs in the AFC title game, they had a defense. We all know what happened last year with that defense. It went the other way. It was not great. And so it seems to me the Titans are resigned to the idea, okay, our defense might not be this good anymore, so let's make sure our offense is as good as it can be. Much in the same way the Washington football team has decided, we really don't have a franchise long-term quarterback. We love Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's great. But we know that our best chance to win games is to put a stranglehold on the opposing defense, and that's why they've loaded up on the side of that ball with Jack Del Rio as their defensive coordinator and Ron Rivera, who played defense in the NFL. Their plan is, we're going to try and choke down your offense as much so our offense can keep us in the game. It seems like the Titans are somewhat resolved to the idea that, okay, maybe that defense in 2018 isn't coming back, so we need to make sure we find different ways to put points on the board. And when you have Derrick Henry in the backfield and Julio Jones and A.J. Brown, you're not going to double both of them because if you double both of them, Derrick Henry's just going to gash you right up the middle. So, you know, there are options now for Tennessee on the offensive side of the ball that certainly did not present themselves before Julio got there.
We're talking to Trey Wingo, talking NFL with him. So, Trey, let's take that a little bit further because they have a new offensive coordinator in Todd Downing, who has not had a lot of reps as a coordinator. He did have one season for the Raiders, and he's been on the staff, of course. But you do wonder, without Jonnu Smith, we were looking at some of the numbers people have reported on it, that you know they played a lot of two tight end sets, and maybe you don't do that as much. So when you add a guy as dynamic as Julio Jones and you lose Jonnu Smith and you've done it a certain way for the last year and a half that's been really effective, how much change do you do if you're Todd Downing, and how much do you try to keep the same? That looks like a really good challenge for him.
It certainly is, and that's why I really hate basing, unless you have one of the top five quarterbacks in the league, I hate basing a lot of last year's stats on what predictability will be for this year. And obviously Arthur Smith leaving is going to have an effect on that offense. And you mentioned the two tight end sets that you like. I think the Ravens, like the Ravens Titans playoff game, I think there were 700 tight ends on the rosters. For both of those games.
Right.
Those are the two most tight end heavy offenses in football last year. And I don't know if that's going to be the case this year. And that was obviously a big reason why Ryan Tannehill was so good under play action, and why the Titans offense was so good in the red zone last year. I don't know if that translates with a new offensive coordinator and a lack of some of those weapons. So they're going to have to figure out a new way to do those things. That being said, Ryan Tannehill, I guess you could make an argument, could be one of the top five quarterbacks in the NFL the last couple of years. It's funny, people keep wanting to judge him on his Miami years, and they're not looking at what he's done in Tennessee, which has been absolutely remarkable. But there is going to be an adjustment period. And, you know, unless you have, you know, a Rodgers or a Mahomes, or now a Josh Allen, I think is a fair thing to say, you're going to have to wonder every year, will that success translate and will it be duplicated? And I think that's the challenge for Todd Downing and the Tennessee Titans on offense this year, how they get those same results with different people running the plays and different people actually executing the play.
Trey, you just got done earlier when we were talking in terms of the Dolphins, that in the AFC, if you look at every single playoff game, there were no real mismatches at all. It's a very deep conference, and the Titans have now pushed their chips in with this Julio Jones move. Where do you see them on the spectrum here in a real deep conference? How close are they to the Chiefs, or are they solid playoff team but not in that category yet? Where do you have them in your mind right now?
Well, it's interesting because I think people have just looked at the Super Bowl and saw what happened to the Chiefs against a really healthy, peaking Tampa Bay team. At the same time, they got beat up, they had back, and you know, did a million different things that weren't there when they lost to the Chiefs in the regular season. The Chiefs, to me, are far and away still the team to beat in the AFC. They've done an incredible job revamping that offensive line, which was a problem for them. And, you know, their defense is never going to be great, but it's going to be good enough, especially when you have Mahomes. So then the question becomes, who are the likeliest pursuers to Kansas City? And I think if you were looking at a tier of three teams, that would be the closest competitors to the Chiefs. The Tennessee Titans, to me, would be one of those teams. I think the Buffalo Bills are going to be in that mix. The Browns are going to be in that mix. And I think the Tennessee Titans are going to be in that mix. And people could talk about Justin Herbert and the Chargers. And, yes, I think that they've done a nice job upgrading their offensive line. But you know, the Chargers always find a way to charger. So, you know. It's one of those things, and I think Tom Telesco, the GM there, has done a really good job. But if you're asking me who are the three teams that are sort of nipping at the heels of the Chiefs, to me it would be the Bills, it would be the Titans, and it would be the Browns. But you mentioned close playoff games. Like, you know, before Mahomes got hurt against the Browns, that game was blowout city. And, you know, then he got healthy enough to play in the AFC Championship game, and they spotted him 14 or 10 points. That game was blowout city. So people have that lasting image of them just getting pushed around in the trenches in the Super Bowl. And I think they're just not taking an honest evaluation of what the Chiefs are and what they still can be.
We're talking to Trey Wingo, talking some NFL with him. So with the Titans and Vrabel, most notably, as the head coach, what's kind of your thought about him and what how he's been able to manage the last few years and grow into the role? And yes, he's made a few mistakes here and there, but we've already talked about the resume, AFC championship game appearance, winning the division last year, and now have a chance to do even more. So what's kind of your evaluation of him as a head coach?
I think when it's all said and done, he has the possibility of being arguably the best of the Belichick coaching tree proteges. And it's funny, because he never coached under Belichick. He just played under him. You know, the wild card game in which he out-Belichicked Belichick with the delay of games and the punts and took off all that time off the clock was just brilliant. And you could see Belichick seething on the other side of the ball. It's like it's like the line from Animal House. You can't do that to our pledges. Only we can do that
our
pledges. You know, that's sort of what he was. I think when it's all said and done, Mike Vrabel might be the star of the Bill Belichick coaching tree, of which there haven't been many, we should point out, that have gone on to have great success, but I really believe he has the opportunity to be that guy, and he has been so incredibly impressive with what he's been able to do and the buttons he's been able to push, and, you know, planking pregame is also pretty solid.
absolutely. you brought up the Browns. That is a team that, like, I want to believe in. I want to pick to win the North because I kind of think Pittsburgh goes backwards. I think Baltimore could take a step back. I want to believe, but they're the Browns. So are you a true believer, or is that worry?
They're not those Browns. I mean, this is a different – you're right. The Browns, you know, outside of last year, let's be honest, have been pretty bad. But those Browns aren't these Browns. And I think that they have a really good front office and a really good coaching staff, and they have a really good team. I mean, I just think, like, in crunch time, what combination are you going with in the AFC? What do you trust more? Do you trust Baker Mayfield and Juice Landry and OBJ, or do you trust Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill and everybody else? I think the Browns are really good. I think the problem for everybody in the AFC is that team in Kansas City isn't going anywhere for a while. Now, in a couple years, when Kelce maybe gets a little more banged up and, you know, they have to figure out what they're going to do with Tyreek and his contract, and they don't have, you know, the depth that they have at wide receiver that they do now, there might be a little more of an issue. But it's hard for me to realistically look at all the teams and how they're constructed and think there's a team better than the Chiefs in the AFC. And that's not taking away anything from the Bills. That's not taking anything away from the Browns or the Titans. It's just I think they're better.
Did you agree with my statement on the Steelers, though? That it's all about Ben for me. I just think he's at the end, and you know, yeah, they have some pieces, but you have the case of the dropsies that they had to deal with last year that kind of hurt him, and when they fell off after starting the season undefeated, I just don't think they're the same Steelers.
They're not, and you're right. Their offensive line got worse, and you know, while Najee Harris was a great pick, if you look at the way they ran the ball, how ineffectively they ran the ball, the running back wasn't really the problem. It was the game planning and the offensive line. So, you know, to me, I think that there are problems there, and they're just sort of delaying the inevitable with the cap hit for Ben. And I will have to say, this, you know, you have to give Ben a lot of credit. What's he playing for? $14 million this year? $18 million? Something like that in terms of, you know, multiple Super Bowl winning quarterback. You know, he's absolutely taken one for the team. There's no question about it. But I think that the Steelers are more likely to fall back. And I think if Joe Burrow is healthy and what the Bengals have done, that division, you could make a very argument, is the toughest division in football right now, especially with the quarterbacks. You have a future Hall of Famer in Ben. You have an MVP in Lamar Jackson, although, you know, doing it a little differently. You have an up-and-comer in Baker Mayfield, and Joe Burrow was the number one overall pick for a reason and played pretty well until he got hurt. That's going to be a very, very difficult division. I think that's another thing that's going to hurt not only the Browns, but everybody, is there's going to be, you know, a war of attrition with those guys playing each other twice a year. Just based on the play of the teams in there, it's hard to see a team that comes out of that division with, you know, more than 10, maybe 11 wins, and I don't know if that's going to get you the number one overall seed, which is the only one that gets the bye now.
Well, it's fun to talk about some football with you, Trey. I appreciate it as always, and we will do it again soon.
Hey, you got it, guys. Anytime. Always a pleasure.
He is Trey Wingo, just one of the best, and always enjoy having him on to talk some NFL and the Titans, most notably here in Nashville. We'll come back with more here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 1025 The Game.
DJ Elijah got big props from Greg Wyshynski earlier in the show. DJ Elijah is going to be spinning the tunes backwards coming up here soon before we get out of this hour.
Can we not give him some credit for this song, too? Upcoming question?
That's why I'm bringing it up.
Was that your request, Darren DeBarge?
No, I didn't say a word. I didn't say a word to him.
This is one of my personal slow jam favorites, right, back in the day.
Boys, it's like called it. Producing.
Yeah, exactly.
And Elijah's good at it.
He saw the text and he acted appropriately.
He must have gotten telepathy from me because I thought about this song when you texted that, Darren.
Well, he knew you're a cutting edge type of guy.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know.
It's contagious around
great
these
minds
parts.
Think alike.
And so, by the way, we're going to give you a chance to win some Eric Clapton tickets coming up here very soon before we get out here this hour. But right now, good stuff from Trey Wingo. And here's the question. We've done this before with making up lists, right? We did this not too long ago, in fact, when the season ended on John Robinson, in fact, I kept all that list, the good and the bad, okay, with general manager John Robinson. So this is the category as we continue to ask a lot of questions about this Titans team, as we said here in mid-June. There is a category that I've written down of things you like about this Titans team as we sit here in mid-June, and things you don't like about this Titans team in mid-June. Obviously subject to change. But what we're going to do is go around the room, and I'm going to write these things down and see what our list looks like when we're done. So let's start with, and you can name, it's just one at a time.
And okay? it can be an individual, it can be a position group, it can be a coach.
But just don't go A, B, C, D, right? Just make it one thing. But yes, you can take it however you want. So Willie, I'm going to start with you on the things you like, or something you like about this Titans team in mid-June is what?
I like the energy that they have right now. There's a lot of excitement. And I think not just from the fan base and from the national media, but I think that's filtering down into the team. Mike Vrabel, John Robinson, Julio Jones, everybody that went to the podium last week was excited to be there. Even Mike Vrabel, right? Mike Vrabel was answering questions with detail, with, dare I say, enthusiasm. I'm picking up on that. I just think they have a little swagger to them right now that hasn't been there before. I think they like the fact that they're getting some attention. And so I think that's a good thing. That's something
Vrabel
I like.
If Mike Vrabel can bring that energy to two straight press conferences, I love your energy.
You'll be impressed.
I'll be really impressed.
Yeah, I'm not counting on that staying true the entire season, but I just feel like they feel like they're in this together. Like they've already built it a certain part of the way. I think they like the moves they make, and then you know this move of Julio Jones is kind of signaling to them, you know, we can play with anybody.
Okay, real quick formality question: is attention, discussion, is that in the same category as energy, or is that a different category? In other words,
no, it's a different category. I'm talking about internal energy.
You're talking about internally, okay?
Internal energy that they're feeling for all those reasons.
Chase,
yeah.
One thing that you like about this Titans team in mid-June?
I think it's the head coach. I know that we have, and rightfully so, there have been times that we have criticized him, and he's earned that criticism. But there have been times that we've praised him, and he's earned that praise. You know, it's why I wanted to ask Trey what he thought about him. You look at his overall body of work since he took over as the head coach, as a first-time head coach. He had been a coordinator for a year, but you think about the people that he's worked with. Bill Belichick, he played for. Romeo Crennel, he's coached with. I'll give a little credit to your guy, Bill O'Brien, that he's been around. Urban Meyer. He has certainly had a lot of people that he could pick from. Bill Cowher, he played for. And you have seen all of that kind of get rolled into one. I think there have been times that you've seen some mistakes and he's learned. There have been times where he's been stubborn and we have discussed that stubbornness. But overall, I don't believe that this team is where they are without him. I think Mike Mularkey did a tremendous job pulling them out of the doldrums of Wisenhunt, and what kind of happened in the post Jeff Fisher era, the post Bud Adams era. But it was the ceiling. That was as far as they were going to go. And Vrabel took them to another place, and I still think there's more to go. So I think he has been the right head coach, and I like the job that he's done overall.
Okay. I'm going to go energy. Okay, you went energy internally. I'm going energy externally. Okay? I believe that the energy right now with the fan base, I don't want to say it's at an all-time high because we've seen all-time high in this market, but you have to go way back.
You got to go to the beginning of the century.
You do. But it feels like, you know, people – it is the, and I know I'm going to use the old phrase because so we can laugh about it. It's been the water cooler talk, and nobody's really talking around the water cooler anymore. But people are talking about this team, whether it's here locally, which is the most important, or nationally. There is a buzz about this Titans team. It's been a while since there's been a real buzz for this Titans team. I hear, when we start talking about them on the show, people are perking up. People want to interact. And it's been a while since that's been the case. So I'm going to go external energy, buzz in this market, buzz around the franchise. And it obviously is the big move that we talked to John Robinson shortly after he acquired Julio Jones. That move right there has kind of sent it to a new level, a new place. And so I'm going to say that is one of the things I like. All right, so let's flip over to the other category. We'll come back. We're going to kind of toggle back and forth until we run out of time. Willie, something you don't like about this Titans team sitting here in mid-June.
I'm going to build off of what Trey Wingo said, and the biggest thing I don't like is that they play in the same conference with the Chiefs, because Trey made a pretty compelling argument of the fact that the AFC was a good, solid, deep conference with a lot of good teams, but really Kansas City was, at the end of the day, a step ahead of everybody. Their quarterback is in his prime. I don't know that there's going to be any kind of significant drop-off on paper. So I think that's the biggest thing, is can you beat the Chiefs? And could you possibly beat them in Kansas City? Or could you earn the ability to host a playoff game against the Chiefs? I think that's a very tall order. That's the biggest thing I don't like.
Did Coach Willie approve that answer? Because that almost seems like the cart before the horse category for Coach Willie. I mean, I've got to be honest. Like Coach Willie's looking way down the line of dealing with the Chiefs in January. That's a very un-Coach Willie-like answer.
If you want to win a championship, it's probably going to have to go through Kansas City somewhere along the line.
Okay.
I think Buffalo will have something to say about that, too.
I'm just thinking Coach
Buffalo
Willie
is great, but Buffalo
corner.
Was no match for Kansas City last year, as Trey pointed out.
Yeah, last year. You're right.
All right. Chase, something you don't like.
Some people may laugh at this, but I just feel like that one thing this franchise in the last couple of years has not put enough of an emphasis on, and it's burnt them at times, is the kicking position. And you think about 2 years ago, they went through, how many was it? Four or five. You had injuries, and you had suck up that, you know, he was hurt and just was never right, and they ended up cutting him, and then he wins a Super Bowl in Tampa, and looks great, gets a contract extension. Last year, Gostkowski comes in, and he's shaky at the beginning. It got going as the year went on, but was very shaky at the beginning, and now you're sitting here with two unproven guys, one's a rookie, one's been on the practice squad for a year, and Blake Heibel and Tucker McCann, and they're going to be competing for the kicking position. So I know there are some needs and other question marks with this team, but I don't like where they're at with kicker and have been for the last couple of years with just uncertainty and the fact that we're talking about a position as simple as kicker, because so many teams, including this one, have had reliable guys at that position for so many years, and including Ryan Succop and Rob Baronis, Al Del Greco in the early days, Joe Nedney. I mean, it was never really an issue until the last couple of years.
Okay. That's a very reasonable concern. Very reasonable concern. Something I don't like about the Tennessee Titans in mid-June, albeit, disclaimer, the last two OCs didn't have any experience. I don't like two coordinators with 1 year experience as coordinators. Does that mean that it's going to fail? Nope. It just means I've got a concern. I don't like it. I don't know how this is going to play out. I just said the last two OCs had no OC experience either. Matt LaFleur did, technically, wink, wink, but he was not calling the plays in L.A. He was not the O.C. So I guess technically he did, but I was, you know, we all know who was in charge of the offense in L.A. He came here and he was in charge, and he did a good job, and then Arthur Smith took it to the next level, albeit with probably better players, but he took it to the next level, and they now have two coordinators with 1 year experience as being coordinators. That concerns me in mid-June. And so, therefore, today on the list, I don't like that there's no coordinators on this roster with any real NFL experience as an offense or a defensive coordinator.
I think that is a very valid concern.
It's going to be a big question until further notice. Those guys are going to be under the microscope.
And I think one thing that we have questioned and brought up with Mike Vrabel in his tenure is he loyal to a fault? You know, is he too loyal sometimes? And hanging on, you know, or elevating some of his guys that are unproven or hanging on to guys that you just sit there and you go, what's the deal here? What am I missing? So I think it's a valid concern with both those guys.
We flip back over to something you like, Willie, about this Titans team in mid-June is what?
I like their quarterback. The more I see him, the more I like him. I think he is the right guy to handle all of the scrutiny of what you just brought up, Darren. The fact that there is a new coordinator, the fact that you have a massive presence coming in and Julio Jones, trying to fit all the pieces together, define everybody's role, make the adjustments in the offensive system that you need to make with the different personnel you're going to have. I have really come to believe in Ryan Tannehill. I like him. I think they're fortunate that he's at the stage of his career that he's in right now, because earlier in his career, I think you'd have a lot more question marks as to whether this would work. But the way he's laid the foundation here, I just think there's a lot of security that you feel with him being able to handle this.
Okay. Ryan Tannehill. Good one.
Certainly a solid one.
Yep.
For sure.
Chase, something you like about this Tennessee Titans team in mid-June is what?
I like the receiver room as a whole, not just A.J. Brown and Julio Jones. Obviously, having those guys is fantastic because you have an elite receiver in Julio Jones. You have a budding elite receiver in A.J. Brown. But I think the competition behind them is going to be a good thing. You know, whether it's Josh Reynolds coming in on a one-year prove-it deal, not making a lot of money, you know, showed flashes but was not featured a lot in L.A. You know, he's coming in and competing. You have others that are going to be in camp, like a Cam Batson that has been here for several years that they like, that he's going to have to go to a next level. And then a rookie in Des Fitzpatrick that is a fourth-round pick that, you know, we've seen fourth-round picks play out. We've seen fourth-round picks not play out. I mean, that is such a tough spot to be. But, you know, does he have the right chip on his shoulder to come out and work on it? I saw some of the videos Teron put yesterday, and, you know, I like the footwork, and I could tell the hustle was there. And not to mention, there's like 10 or 11 receivers on this roster right now. I think competition is a good thing. And so behind Julio and AJ, I like what could be brewing there to fill out this receiving core.
Okay. I don't have it in front of me. Anybody know the...
You have nothing you like in front of you?
No, I don't have the... Let's see.
You came up with this topic. You should be prepared and ready to fire away with everything that you like here.
I don't have the home record.
What happened?
I know it's good under Mike Vrabel. They've been very good at home, and I wanted to pop off the exact home record.
Ever since that they painted the light poles, I'm telling you, the home record has gone way up.
Yeah, what is the record with the light poles? That's what we need to know.
I'd like to go back. I can document that.
Hang on.
It was while Mularkey was still the coach. It was the turnaround under Mularkey. It was, I think, Mariota's second year, or maybe it was. I think so, but
you have it in front of you?
No, I'm digging for it.
I think the fact that they have been successful at home and the fans are back, and there's external energy that I've already brought up, I think it's going to create quite the atmospheres this year in Nashville. And I like the fact that they should have real home field advantage in 2021. And it has served them well under Mike Vrabel. And Willie, you know this because we've talked about this a lot over the years. They lost that home field edge for a good while. Like, it was no big deal to come in to Nashville and beat the Titans. Where back in the day, the heyday, the early years, we talked to player after player after player that would say all the time, they felt like there were plenty that said, we thought it was the toughest place to play in the league. Been a long time since anybody said that. I think they've got an opportunity here because of the external energy that we've talked about and the way they've been successful at home under Mike Vrabel. As I stall, and hopefully Chase will have the exact number. I think with the fans coming back and all of that energy, and hopefully that has led to a lot of Titans fans buying tickets because their home schedule is very attractive and it's tough. They are going to get a real home field advantage this upcoming season. And let's be honest,
I don't know if I'm ready to go there yet. I still think the fans from the other team are going to be a big issue.
I'm
going off that.
Well, we know last year they lost to the Steelers, they lost to the Browns, they lost to the Colts at home.
I can find his all-time challenge record, but I can't find how many wins or losses he has at home.
Yeah, I didn't have any luck either. That's why I
sorry. Yeah, 29-19. That's his overall.
Yeah,
in right, three seasons.
I just think, look.
And they lost the home playoff game. So they lost at least four last year at home.
15-9 at home the last 3 years.
Hey, look at Elijah.
Hey, Elijah. All right.
Couldn't find it anywhere. I had to go through all three seasons manually. Of Football Reference and did that math in my head.
15-9 plus a playoff loss?
I did not count the playoffs. So if you count the playoff loss, 15-10.
You could do a lot worse.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not the great, but look, I just think it's coming back right. They've had a lot of big wins at home, right? They beat the Packers, they beat the Bucks. They had some really good wins at home. They shredded the Bills. They beat the Steelers, right?
No.
No, they did not. I remember the Bills, that was here. I'm trying to just go off the top of my head games. I feel like they've just really.
He's got a home win off over Kansas City.
There was the Kansas City win. Yeah.
Well, that was That's the right. biggest
Mahomes
turning point
had probably
been his
hurt,
coaching.
Right? But he played that game. He had been hurt. He came back. They beat the Chiefs here. I just think there's been a real, you know, it's turned the corner, and now they've got an opportunity this year for it to go a step further. Willie, that's fine for you not to be a believer yet.
I'm not a believer yet. I want to see it.
The fans, the Titans fans, will buy tickets instead of the opposing team's fans. I believe they will. There's been too many stories I've already heard of people going out and buying tickets that haven't bought tickets ever or haven't bought tickets in a long time.
I hope you're right. This team deserves that kind of maximizing home field.
Okay, real quick, before we have to take our final break of the hour and come back and give away some Eric Clapton tickets, something you don't like.
Something I don't like is just simply the schedule. I think the schedule is tough, and I think you could have some issues there where you can, if you have the wrong guys get hurt certain weeks, and you could really find yourself in a hole when on paper you're a really good team. But that schedule is fraught, and you know me, I like to just hold off and say, let's see when the season unfolds, how the schedule ends up, how difficult the schedule actually ends up being. But I think we can, when you play a first-place schedule, I think we got a reasonable shot of just assuming that this is going to be a tough road here. You could be really good and still lose a few games just because you play a tough schedule.
Okay,
so, right.
I don't like the schedule.
Chase?
Uncertainty at the tight end position. I think this team has used tight ends so much, and we've talked about it that, you know, it's going to change with Julio and AJ and Derrick Henry and Tannehill and what he can do. But I still think that that's got to be a concern for them right now. So I don't know how they address it. I don't know if somebody comes out and just blows us away in camp, if Firkser goes to another level, but I don't like it. I have concerns.
Mine is simply put, can they get rookie production this year? Something they could not get last year. I mean, it was a 0.0. Can they actually get rookie production? Does everybody feel good about Caleb Farley right now? I don't know. I mean, we don't know.
I don't know right? how to feel.
We don't know.
Play?
Right. Exactly. I mean, I know Elijah Molden's been out there, but can they get production out of the rookies? Can they get some production out of the rookie class? Something that they did not do last year. So as I sit here in mid-June, I have concerns on if they can get production out of this rookie class, something they desperately need to start making happen. And it needs to start this season. So that's my concern. We'll come back, give you a chance to win Eric Clapton tickets. Jump in on the phone line, 615-737-1025. That is our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. You know how this works. DJ Elijah is going to spin an Eric Clapton tune backwards. If you get it, you're going to see Eric Clapton at Bridgestone Arena in September. 615-737-1025. Your phone call's next. All right, it's time. It's time for you to get a chance to win some ticks. You know how this works. Eric Clapton's coming to Nashville. Eric Clapton's coming to Bridgestone Arena. DJ Elijah's about to spin a tune backwards from his decades of music. And if you correctly guess it, you're going to win a pair of tickets to see him on September 21st at Bridgestone Arena. Yesterday, first caller nailed it. First caller also admitted, been a long time Eric Clapton fan, and said, probably more than you guys have been alive. And I was like, thank you for that, but probably not. He said, 1967. And I said, nope, correct. Actually, longer than we've been alive. So good job by him. Now it is time for you to get that opportunity to win, just like we've had the last 2 days on the show. Let's start things off with Thomas. Thomas, welcome in. You're on our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How do you feel, Thomas?
I feel pretty good. I'm actually enjoying the weather more than anything and listening to y'all today.
Well, thank you.
Thank you.
And it is beautiful.
Weather's
outside.
Nice.
Yes. I like it. A little bit cooler temps. Nice. All right. Here we go. DJ Elijah, spin the tune.
Whew. Wow. That one did just pop into my head.
Mm.
I got to hear that one more time.
You want to hear it again?
Yes, please.
Okay.
I might have an idea, but
I'm going to say it's a remake that's While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
That would be incorrect.
Is that correct or incorrect? Elijah says incorrect. Thomas, right. Thank you for the call. Right. Appreciate it. Thanks for listening. I have a feeling, guys, DJ Elijah has maybe moved this up a peg for difficulty.
He's gone.
Now you haven't gone like completely. Like you're not.
Oh no, this okay. One's still pretty. This one I feel like it's pretty popular.
I think I know what it is, but I'm not going to say it yet because I want to see if somebody wants to guess.
Okay, two people dropped off, so clearly they got scared away from DJ Elijah. Jump back in. We need two more callers to have the loaded lines like we've had all week. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Don't be scared. It's okay to be wrong. You may be right. Who knows? Jeff, you're up next. Welcome in.
Thank you. Let's do it.
Do you want to hear that one, or do you want a new one?
A new one. I know that one, but I can't think of the name of it.
Okay.
Yeah, do a new one.
DJ Elijah, spin that new Eric Clapton backwards tune.
I think I know this one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
You want to hear it again?
Yeah, one more time. No, I don't know. Tears in heaven.
He might have it.
That would be correct.
Oh my gosh, you pulled it out.
I almost talked myself out of it. I was thinking, was that do you look? You look wonderful tonight.
Yeah,
I was sticking with my gut.
Tears
that
in heaven.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
That was
wow, Jeff. Well done. You talking about last second? I mean, that was it.
Yeah, I was skeptical, but I just went for it.
You went for it, and you got it. So go enjoy the show on September 21st at Bridgestone Arena. Good job. Thanks for participating.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, we're going to put Jeff on hold. Wow.
So the first one.
Let's hear that one more time.
We got two more days.
Okay.
We're going to save it.
It could reshuffle. It could come back up.
Yeah. We got two more days.
I got plenty on deck here.
Do you want to do it or no?
It's up to you, Elijah.
Can we hear it one more time?
Yeah. I'll go ahead and play it one more time.
Play it one more time.
I'm just going to be honest. I knew the last one. I don't know this one.
Man. Chase, your guess in the text to me is incorrect.
Oh.
I don't know this one.
Oh, okay.
I really am at a loss.
It sounds like early Eric Clapton, kind of maybe 60s there.
Okay, we're not.
Well, I mean, if you had him play it again, we can go on and reveal it. I mean, that's fine. He said he's got a bunch.
Okay, is it Crossroads?
So, is that your final guess, Crossroads?
That is my final guess.
Yeah. All right.
Hey, it was Crossroads. Well,
that was it.
Well done.
Outstanding.
Well done.
This is a good contest.
Okay. Oh, it's fun.
Everybody can practice tonight. Just take your record player, get all your Eric Clapton records, and spin them backwards. See what they sound like.
And here's the thing. He could use a different part of a song, too.
That could be.
So he could go back to the same song and use a different part.
No rule against that.
We're saying that we can use songs that we've already won with?
Or ones that we've revealed that weren't guests.
We've already won, those are
retired the song.
Yeah, if it's a winner, sure. But if it's one that you didn't get and we just revealed, somebody on the show that used to do this contest may have done that a time or two. So. Okay.
All right, we'll come back. Former Vanderbilt catcher, now catcher with the San Francisco Giants, Kurt Casale.
The first place San Francisco Giants.
By the way, that's...
How about that?
There's no
ahead
way...
Ahead of the Dodgers. Ahead of the Padres.
No way you would have ever convinced me that would be the case in the middle of June. No chance. But you know what? That is the case. We'll talk with Kurt to begin the fourth hour of Darren, Donnick, and Chase. That's next.